Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 29th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today, Jeff.
It's great to have you here. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me as well.
Awesome. I'm glad you're both here. And the reason, Dave, that I wanted you on the show today specifically is because you've just made a big leap into the world where I can now say one of us.
Because it's true.
Because you just bought your first starter kit of Hue smart light bulbs.
I did. I've had a couple of sort of one-off Bluetooth lights that are, you know, LED and configurable and that sort of thing, but never anything that really integrated with any, you know, smart home platform like HomeKit or, you know, Amazon's thing or Google's mm-hmm. thing. So, yeah, so this is definitely a big leap for me in terms of lights, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted you here, because you're now getting initiated into this whole new world. And even though you've already had some home automation stuff before, the smart light thing is like its own thing. So I figured we should talk about that some, and what we'll end up doing is giving people a bunch of tips in the process if they're just getting started with smart lights as well.
I might even have a tip for people that are knee deep in it or hip deep, perhaps, but we'll get to that. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so first off, did you have any trouble getting your lights set up?
A little bit. There were some firmware updates that needed to happen, and I had one bulb in particular that wasn't really far away from any of the others. I bought a 4-pack of the color Hue bulbs. Mm-hmm. It's a long story. I actually explained it on Mac Geek Gab, so I'll just leave it for that. But I'll
make sure there's a link in today's show notes to Mac Geek Gab so people can hear that story.
Perfect. Yeah. And so I wound up with a 4-pack of Hue bulbs that color Hue bulbs that, so it was four full color bulbs and the Hue Bridge, the current Hue Bridge, which is the square one that integrates with HomeKit among others. Right. And so there was one bulb that really wasn't far away from anything else. In fact, the way these all work, it's essentially Zigbee, right? That mm-hmm. that Hue uses. That's just the protocol that they talk to each other. So the Hue Bridge talks Ethernet. It doesn't talk Wi-Fi, and then it talks this protocol that wirelessly communicates with the bulbs. But they form a mesh network, right? So it's not that every bulb has to talk to the bridge. It's just that, you know, at least one needs to be able to talk to the bridge, and then they sort of communicate amongst themselves, assuming the power is on to the bulbs. You know, right. I say that. It sounds really obvious when I say it, but for things that have switches on your wall that, you know, that trumps everything. So, but I had one bulb that just wouldn't talk. And then I finally got the firmware up to date on it. I wound up moving the bridge closer to that bulb just in order to get this firmware update to happen. And now after that, things have been working swimmingly. So,
yeah. Okay. So what you just experienced is, I think, ridiculous. And at the same time, so common. Huh. And it's one bulb just happens to be in the right place where you can't connect to it reliably to do those firmware updates. And so now you're trying to figure out how to make your lights work together in the same way that you would if you're setting up, say, a Wi-Fi mesh network.
Totally.
And yep. Position matters. And part of the problem is you may not have much control over that because you may be putting a light into a socket that's like in the ceiling.
Yeah, and once it's there, you don't want to be moving it around just to do a firmware update or something like that. Yep,
right.
For sure. Yeah. But I got it all, and it's been great. So, you know, and it's fun. I actually put all my Hue bulbs outside. So I know it sounds crazy. Go spend $200 on this kit and put them all outside where it's not really officially sanctioned to have these things. But they're in outdoor light fixtures, and the temperature ranges that they're going to run are fine. I'm not worried about it.
So, yeah.
There you go. Yep.
And if you were going to put them in a place where it's outside and you're more concerned, Hue just came out or announced a whole new line of outdoor specific bulbs.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, maybe I'll pick some of those up and move these other ones inside and, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hue also, they updated their firmware so that Zigbee 3.0 bulbs are officially supported on their bridge, which was not the case up until I think about a month ago. So I can now add much less expensive, perhaps lower quality, perhaps not, Zigbee 3.0 bulbs without having to buy Hue bulbs and have them officially supported. You could get them to work previously, but it was a little janky. So.
But now it's supported directly. I had no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like I have an experiment coming up. Yeah. So Andrew, you've been listening quietly while we talked about the weird stuff Dave went through to get his Hue bulbs up and running. And in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't bad. Are you listening to this and thinking, yeah, I'm glad I don't do smart lights?
Well, I've thought about checking out smart home stuff before. My main concern is just the security aspect, like having all these things connected to the internet. So maybe I can like do some do-it-yourself thing where it's more like staying on the local network instead.
Huh. Yeah, the security thing. I can see where that would be concerning because there's a lot about these devices that we simply can't control. So if there's a chip in a device that has some sort of internet access and there's a security flaw in that chip, you know, like we saw, was it last year with the all the webcams being used to take down AWS services?
Yeah, I think it was last year or maybe the year before. I just kept reading about all of these different smart home hacks in the news, and people were just going crazy.
All right, so
here's the thing about that though. HomeKit, apologies, HomeKit does stay local in that it's not reliant on a third party server to make the connection happen between, you know, when you issue a command and say, you know, hey, S word, you know, turn on my lights, like that's happening locally in most cases, unless you're using a bridge that then has to go out to the internet to do something. Mm-hmm. But the way HomeKit itself works is it's all local, unless you set it up for remote access and you can get to it from remote. But that again is just you. So unlike A Lady or G Lady, where the command is going out and being processed by their servers, the HomeKit stuff happens locally.
Oh, okay.
But it does it. But I don't want to, like, that's how the technology works. But just because that's how HomeKit works doesn't mean that's how, say, your particular light. Like I could have chosen, I set up my Hue bulbs with everything, right? I set it up with A Lady. I set it up with, actually, I don't know if I set it up with G Lady because they were having a problem with that. Like the servers
never
were having
able
an issue
to get Hue to work with G Lady.
Yeah. I set it up with A Lady and I set it up with HomeKit for sure. But even if therefore it is already exposed to, you know, whatever could happen over the internet if somebody could hack my Amazon account. But even if I had chosen not to set it up with A Lady, the Hue app has local control. So if you're on your local network, it just automatically works, like once you pair with the bridge and all that stuff. And then you can choose, which I did, to set up a MyHue account or MyHue.com account, whatever it is. And then I can control my bulbs from remote when I'm not on my local network. But that, of course, means we've now opened it up to the internet. So, you know, even just setting it up with HomeKit, I could have also set it up with the MyHue thing. And now I'm exposed in that sense. I'm not that worried about it. But I mean, it like that's my choice to make. You know, everybody else makes their own choices to where they want to be in that whole privacy and security continuum that's there. So it's really to do it and maintain isolation from the outside world is very difficult, but not impossible. Just because there's so many options that you have where if you're not super careful about, you know, saying no or yes to the right question, you kind of have to think through the implications, like, oh, wait, that might open the door. I don't want to open the door. And mm-hmm. like I said, the thing is, when you open one, that's it. You know, the doors are all right. Open. Yeah, so, or they might as well be. Yeah.
So, Andrew, I have a brand suggestion for you that can help alleviate some of the concerns about remote access and stuff. Elgato Eve, their smart home products are Bluetooth. So they're local only for all the control, and it's HomeKit only. So then if you want to remotely control them, then you have an Apple TV or a HomePod, or say you have an extra iPad sitting around and you only have a couple devices you want to control, you can use an iPad or an iPhone for that as well. That takes out a lot of the other potential remote access control because it's not even on your Wi-Fi network.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's cool.
Unless you put the bridge in. Yeah. Like you said. Yep.
Right. And then it's protected in the same way that any other HomeKit device would be. But since it's HomeKit only, you don't have to worry about, are there chips in there that would be used for all the other remote access, because no, it's just not there.
Yeah. The big issue with HomeKit, like it is secure, right? But it's also very limited currently in terms of the devices that you can get. But again, if you're intentional about how you purchase and how you do all that, well then it's fine. And Apple has changed the way HomeKit vendors in general need to go about getting their stuff compatible with HomeKit. And it can now, in theory, at least be done only with software. And that might make a huge difference to opening up that market.
Yeah, but that's what I'm hoping.
Here's the thing, if I may, Jeff. Mm-hmm. With HomeKit, if you choose to live in the HomeKit world, you must do all of your automation in ways that HomeKit supports. And to me, this is where the smart home stuff gets really interesting. Because, yeah, you can group things together. Like, HomeKit's really good with scenes, and it's actually pretty good with automation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, scenes like saying, hey, you know, turn on my lights and set them to green and set the brightness at 50%. Like, that's cool. And that works. Or you can define a scene and you can say, hey, you know, activate green scene. Then there you go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
that, by the way, is the workaround for not being able to gang up commands when you just speak.
Yes,
because none of the services support that. You have to give each command individually.
That's correct. Yeah, I sort of led people astray by saying set my lights to green, and it's like no. Hey, set my lights to green. Hey, set the brightness to 50%. You know, yeah. It's very pedantic. But like you said, scenes automation is, hey, if something, you know, happens on one device that you can see, do something on these other devices that you can see, right? And that's sort of what led me to want to get some outdoor bulbs. Ring they started with doorbells and now they do floodlight cams. They just recently became a sponsor of Mac Geek Gab. Mm-hmm. And so I got some of their stuff to test out, and I got one of their doorbells and one of their floodlight cams. And I thought, okay, this is really cool. Like it is really cool. And I'll refer you to the Mac Geek Gab episode where we talked about some of this stuff this week, but that got me, that like opened the door to, okay, this stuff is cool. Now what I want is in addition to when my Ring floodlight cam notices activity in my driveway, in addition to it turning itself on, I also want some of my other outside lights to turn on again, you know, like so that it could, you know, be a thing and light up the whole driveway and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's where HomeKit would fail, because Ring isn't supported by HomeKit yet. They say it's coming. They say they've already built it. They haven't released it. There's some political potential ramifications, not like political between Apple and Ring / Amazon, because Amazon just bought them, not mm-hmm. not political Republican and Democrat things. And so, you know, it was like, okay, well, that's fine because I have these other things. And when you allow things like IFTTT, if this, then that, you can now start linking together these separate products. And that's where it started to get really interesting for me, because it was like, okay, cool. I can have IFT can see my Ring, sensors, and it can also see my Hue bulbs. So awesome. We'll do that. And I immediately realized, oh, IFT is totally the wrong thing, because IFT can only do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something moderately complex. I wanted it to, if the Ring, you know, sensor sees something in the driveway and it's between these hours of the day, i.e. when it's dark out and when my lights aren't already on, then I want it to turn on the bulbs and turn them off 10 minutes later. And mm-hmm. that was where IFT totally fell apart, but I found a solution, and it's called Stringify. And Stringify will let you create those exact type. In fact, I have that exact scenario set up in Stringify, and their interface is a little weird. It's kind of that programming by widgets and bubbles. Mm-hmm. You draw lines and connect things together. And once it totally, don't make the mistake that I did. If you're going to use Stringify, I chose not to go through their, hey, we want to walk you through setting up a couple of demo flows. They call them flows. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I got this. Well, I got it because I knew what I wanted to do. What I didn't got was I didn't quite know how they let me do things. And so it was, I essentially had to go back and go through those things. And it was like, oh, I understand how to do this now. So yeah, I had to learn the language.
All right. It's not difficult. Stringify right now.
Yeah.
And I will go through their tutorials.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, send them in to us. You know, I'm happy to answer them and all that stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. But you can do that kind of stuff with HomeKit, right?
Yes.
Sort of. If the stuff is compatible. I mean, sort of. It's not nearly as flexible as Stringify is, but it's also way easier. Like the whole turn on a light at the time of day and set a timer thing is totally doable with HomeKit now.
Yes.
If all your sensors and devices are HomeKit compatible.
Right. And actually I'm doing that very thing with my entry light. So I have a sensor on the door. I also have a motion sensor. So either one of those can turn my entry light on. But when something is triggered from the motion sensor, which will always happen, then it triggers a 10-minute timer. So the light will come on. 10 minutes later, it will go off. So I don't have
to think
about the entry light ever again. And it's really great when people are coming over and, it's nighttime, the door opens, boom, the light's on for them. No problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, I had to set that up in Apple's Home app because Apple locks down some of the things that you can do in HomeKit to their own app. But outside of, of setting something up like that, where I had to do all the timers and everything. I prefer another app that's called Home, and it's a $15 app, and it's not Apple's, and it was out long before Apple had their Home app. And that's where I set up all my scenes. It is so much better for setting up scenes. The interface is so much easier to use. And I have some pretty complex scenes because I have a lot of lights from a lot of manufacturers, and I have my Ecobee thermostat, and anyhow, I just have a lot of smart home stuff from a lot of different vendors, and it was so easy to string everything together exactly the way I want in this other Home app, and I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes. Totally worth the $15. And
but only for HomeKit stuff.
It's only for HomeKit stuff.
Yeah.
So we are out of time. But before we go, Andrew, I have to ask you another question. After listening to Dave and me go back and forth, Dave and I go back and forth. Are you thinking that you're closer to jumping into smart home stuff, or have we scared you off?
No, I think I'm a bit closer. I'm going to check out that brand you recommended and see what they have to offer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was Elgato and their Eve product line.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
They have some cool devices to make your smart home work. So, yeah. All right. Well, since we are out of time, Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, since Dave and I are both elbow deep, we're way deeper than our elbows into smart home stuff. If you have questions, let me know. You can send me emails, observations@macobserver.com. You can send me tweets. That would be at TMO Daily. And you can leave comments in the show notes. And my guess is that between us, we'll be able to come up with an answer for most all of your questions. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.